Good evening. This is Elizabeth Joyce on Let's Find Out at bbsradio.com. We are on another quest to find out more about the world of metaphysics and the world beyond. Our guest tonight is Michael Kazowski. I hope that that's right. And he's an author. He's an author of The Seers, which is a very, very interesting concept. He's also president of the Center for Alloplastic Facial Reconstruction in Little Rock, Arkansas, where he serves to lead practitioners designing and fitting ocular and facial reconstruction. He's an artist. He's a medical inventor. And many of his technologies have been used by hundreds of patients worldwide. Fascinated in his studies of theology, physics, and philosophy and ancient civilizations, he embarked on a personal spiritual quest driven by a hardwired obsession to harmonize discoveries of science with the enlightened virtues of religion and spirituality. His journey continues today, with much of his findings reflected on the rich metaphor and symbolisms of the seers. So I really am excited to find out about the seers, who they are, and what they do. He spends his time between his homes in Little Rock and Brandon, Missouri, and he enjoys the company of his wife, Pippa, and three children, Rachel, Daniel, and Lily. Good evening, Michael.
Good evening.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Before we even start about asking about the book, I want to know who and what the seers are.
The seers are the prophets of humanity that have the great ability to have communication with infinite brilliance, infinite intelligence, God, higher power, whatever you want to call, mm-hmm. the creative force of the universe, and that they see the unseen. They are able to see the non-physical entities that exist around us in the spiritual plane, as well as the human soul. That's a quick description. There's a lot more in the book.
There is. I wrote a book called Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim?, which talks about the people that claim they do that and really can't. So it's interesting that we're both writing on the same subject in different ways. So what did inspire you to write this thriller? This is a thriller, right? A mystery?
Yeah, you know, it's divided into three sections. The main narrative is a thriller. But there's the other section in the back of the book, which is called The Seer's Handbook, is reference material. And there's also some first-person narrative letters scattered throughout the book as well to guide the reader between all the different parts of it. So, yes, the main aspect of it that carries the reader through it is the thriller element of it. And what originally inspired me – actually, I was writing screenplays a while. Back when in my youth, I was always – in addition to creating prosthetics and body parts and inventions and machines and all this kind of stuff, I was also writing stories. And so I've always been writing stories, and I started writing them as screenplays, even went to an art school. I was a film major for a while in addition to that. And so The Seers was one of those stories that I wrote that tapped into a lot of my questions throughout life, dealing with kind of balancing spirituality with science and trying to harmonize those two together.
Mm-hmm. Well, you wrote about a New York police detective who investigates mysterious serial murders of dozens of homeless people. And, of course, you've created their eyes to be missing, and that could have something to do with your ocular and facial prosthetic reconstructions. Sometimes we write about our life. We usually do write about what we've experienced.
Well, interestingly enough, at the time I wrote this, originally I wrote this over 10 years ago as a screenplay, I wasn't making eyes. I was making other body parts, but eyes is its own specialty. So, I know. Yeah, ironically or coincidentally or fortuitously or providentially, however you want to put it, eventually I end up now making prosthetic eyes day in and day out. That's what I do most.
My son is an ophthalmologist.
Oh, okay.
He tries to save the eyes of newborn babies. Anyway, a piece of the story involves a man questioning his belief in God after he loses his wife. Do we all battle with inner conflicts, and when do we truly come to believe?
Well, absolutely. I think that's certainly the path of humanity, the individual path of each person is to overcome and to grow. We are never arriving. Everything, we're in a constant state of growth. You know, that's the way I look at that. And, you know, it's that whole battle between being and becoming, and, you know, and arrival is a myth and that sort of thing. You know, so.
Well, I think that we certainly can conquer our old problems and handle them in different and newer ways. But I also think that as soon as we handle one, we have about a 2-week respite and another one comes. And
exactly.
We keep peeling that onion down. But there are arrivals. There are going into different vibrations, frequencies, and dimensions so that you can say, oh, I'm glad that I got that all explained to me. Now, what about this? What do I do about that? Because there's so much.
I agree. It's like a stairwell that's infinite, and there's different steps that are longer plateaus than others. Absolutely. And when I was referring to arrival as a myth, I was referring to it as perhaps kind of like what a lot of modern culture believe is kind of like the way they watch a movie, Happily Ever After, and then that there's no further growth and challenges. So,
well,
but
you know, I just finished a book, Ascension, Accessing the Fifth Dimension, and it was 18 months of, I'm telling you, I never thought I'd survive writing the book. How did you overcome? You must have had to overcome quite a bit, not only to pen this work, but to penetrate a new world that could possibly be truth and to grow and learn how we would communicate back and forth. That had to be quite a trip.
Yeah, it really was. This, you know, the screenplay to me was a lot easier, you know, because it's really thinking visually and, you know, and it, but, you know, then tying that in with all the laws that were, you know, the invisible backstory that movies, you don't experience, that I had to put all that, create, you know, the glossary and the chapters in the angelology section and all the rest of the chapters in the Seer's handbook, then tie that into, it took years. I mean, I wrote the book originally over 10 years ago as a screenplay. Uh-huh. I just kept working on it. And it was it was kind of like a passion. And to answer your question, I suppose I felt that I had to do it, you know. And,
yes, you're compelled. And what I found when I was writing Ascension is that I would get up in the morning and I would be so excited and I would be so invigorated, and then I'd write down all of these new insights, and then I'd start again the next day, and I'd have to perfect it and work with it, and maybe do some research. It was exciting.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The mornings when I found like the brain when you're in the delta patterns or whatever, we escape perhaps, you know, perhaps who knows, our soul has traveled somewhere or something. You know, that certainly in the morning is when I got a lot of channeling or information from, you know, the universe that kind of really seeped in.
I call it accessing the higher knowledge.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely, you know, in meditative states and things like that. So the book, for me, so much of it, and a lot of people that have really gotten into it that are really kind of spiritually connected read this, they'll go, this is so much truth. This is truth. And other people that are searching, they come to me and they ask me, like, is this real? Is this real? And I'm like, well, you know, if you talk to one person that follows one religion, they'll tell you it's not fiction. You know, they'll say, you know, it's that their book is nonfiction. But if you talk to another from another faith, they'll say theirs is nonfiction. So, you know, and you kind of open up that whole discussion.
Well, we have all kinds of choices, don't we? Tell us about this interactive website. I didn't get a chance to do too much on it, but it is fascinating.
Well, you know, I really love multimedia. And again, you know, as I mentioned, I was a film major as well for a while, and I've made films, and I've been involved in the film industry, even, you know, wrote The Seers, in fact, was on the bargaining table at Dimension Films. This is, mm-hmm. again, over 10 years ago. And so I've always kind of dabbled around with that. So I decided, I go, well, you know, I really want to capture some cinematic moments in that book. So that's what I did by using the QR codes or just simply going with the links in there. I have had original illustrations created of the soul, of the human soul, and actual computer animation sequences of it as well. And as well as original music, I brought in. I furnished a little in-house studio in my clinic, and hired a couple of musicians and artists, and we just had a lot of fun. And I just kind of directed this whole creative endeavor. So original soundtracks in this that you can hear.
We just had Richard Shulman here, and I don't know if you know him, but he is tops. absolutely tops with the music.
Oh, that's great. That is so much fun.
It really opens hearts. Music can open hearts. So how does this website work?
Well, you can actually just go to theseers.com. That's theseers.com. And then you can just log in. And then you'll have access to all of the links throughout the book. So instead of using your QR code scanner on your phone, you can do it that way. Or you can use your phone and use the QR code scanner, because the book has all the code, the little QR codes throughout the book. Or you can get the book like on Apple, you know, on your iPad or whatever, and then, or on other interactive book, Kindle or whatever.
And you I didn't see you could get it on Amazon.com. It's not there.
You know, it's there, but for whatever reason, it you just type in my last name for whatever, it'll come up easier.
It didn't come up at all.
It's available everywhere. I'm gonna have to look into that, because
might be a glitch.
it must be a glitch. Matter of fact, I'm going there right now as we're talking.
And what happened with Kindle? Tell us about Kindle. It's on Kindle. Can you do the interaction on Kindle?
Yeah, I think it depends on which machine you have.
Okay, if you've got enough of the hardware.
Right. Yeah, there it is. It's there. It's there. My main name must have been just spelled wrong.
What is Celestial? Okay. How do you say that? Celestial. What is that?
Okay, that's a term that I've come up with that is the combination of the words science and celestial.
And how do you say the word?
Celestial.
Celestial, sorry.
So you're saying the first part of science and then, you know, celestial instead of celestial.
And what does that mean to you?
It means the logo for celestial on the spine of the book is the electromagnetic spectrum, the EMH spectrum that we see. It's that long wave. And basically what it is my uncle was an electromagnetic engineer. And in fact, he's retired now, but he's brilliant. He went to the North Pole on these secret missions to study the Earth's magnetic field. And so I grew up with, you know, a family filled of scientists, type people, engineers, as well as artists and philosophers. And basically the idea is that as a child, when I discovered that electromagnetic frequency was invisible, that we can only see visible light, and that was such a small percentage of what the electromagnetic frequency was, to me it begged the question: well, what about all the other invisible energies that exist? Mm-hmm. And that, you know, such as now, as we, you know, as I continued to research, such as, you know, life energy, orgone, odic force, whatever you want to call it, you have that, and then of course the spiritual dimensions. And so celestial is basically saying that all science, or whether it be metaphysics or physics, it's, you know, it's all the same thing. That
it's all energy.
Yeah, you know, in the study of it, it's all the same thing. You have people that are, you know, on different religious disciplines, and then you have people that are different scientific disciplines. Then you have different people that are, you know, mystics, you know, that aren't, you know, religious, but, you know, are just focused more on mysticism, which is what the seers are. And they're all searching the same thing. They're all tapping into the same stuff. And rather than being competing with one another, we're all looking for the same invisible truths that exist.
It's been made into competition when it really isn't competition, because we are all one. Mm-hmm. I want to address this wonderful song by William Vitalis, who really has all of this aced. He has written a song called "I Have Desired to Go." And let's listen to it. Maybe it'll help explain a little bit.
Desire to go where springs not fail, to fields where falls no sharp and sided hail, and few lilies blow,
And that was William Vitalis singing I Have Desire to Go. My, my, we're having an exciting time tonight. Michael, I'm telling you, I think we've got our gremlins and goblins on the other side coming in and playing games with us.
That's it. That just
means... I really do.
Well, that means we have something important to say.
Okay, we do. You know, there's so many levels. I've traveled a lot of the inner levels myself, and I've had some amazing experiences on all different vibrationary levels, and it's exciting, and they're each one precious in themselves, unless you get pulled downward. That's another title, another experience. Do you believe there's a battle between good and evil in society today?
I do, but when we go there, I like to really be careful. Because I've met so many people that really get caught up in blaming things on the devil or you know, some
spirit. Yes, I know.
You know,
it's not the devil. It has to do with vibration. But I've broken that down in Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim?
Well, that's great. Well, you know what I'm talking about. People.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's like they start to kind of actually, you know, lower their vibration once the subject comes up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and they start to get so what I like to do is like I talked about the human souls having diseases. And, you know, of course, this is, you know, a very strong metaphor. And, you know, there's so much truth in it that by focusing
on that, what Deepak Chopra and Louise Hay are about.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this that if we focus on these things to improve ourselves, to focus on these virtues, that then we will draw the higher energies to us rather than the lower ones. And then so, but yeah, there's certainly in the story, I really kind of create this whole science about this battle between good and evil, about what kind of what aspect of power, you know, the enemy actually has over individuals. You know,
actually, the power is you give it power or you don't give it power. And I'm telling you that the one disease, the greatest disease we have on this planet right now is judgment. And we do not understand the power of our voice and our thoughts because they are extremely powerful. And when you say, get out of my life, be gone, your energy will honor that. And when you say, this isn't going to get me, I'm going to continue on and go up to higher levels, your energy will honor that. The trouble is, Michael, I think you're going to agree with me that people are so full of fear and so afraid and don't have strong self-esteem that they don't believe that.
No, absolutely. And that's exactly what I believe as well. Everything you're saying, I am with you 100%, and that's great to hear you say that. Because, you know, so often, you know, when these movies that have been popularized, like I said, I wrote this a long time ago, these movies now, they're popularizing kind of these angel and demon stuff, and they make it seem like anyone could just be taken over by a demon and all that. And that's where I talk about, that's just not the way it is. I mean, you don't have to, you don't have to be that way. You choose it. So,
I'm very, very interested in another little aspect of this, where you make philosophical insights about people living a life that leads to a deceased soul. I'm going to tell you that from what I have found, it is rare that there will be a deceased soul, but it can happen. Can you explain how you feel about that?
Well, you know, it's one of those things. Sometimes people start getting really mad at me when I start talking about the seers because they do start forgetting that the book is metaphor. You know, and so that there, although there, it's loaded with truth, it doesn't mean I actually believe that our souls disease like this. But in a certain way, they do. You know, if you could understand them, and in one aspect, they do. And what I'm getting at is, you know, intent is invisible. Just like what Christ was, one of his big teachings was that it was like, you know, if you think it, you know, that really means something. Thoughts are things. Okay,
absolutely.
No, and society doesn't teach that. And instead, what's happened is society deception, you know, lies have become so filled in society that because that teaching isn't taught.
Well, we'll go back to what I said about judgment. The biggest disease we have on this planet is judgment. You are this. I'm telling you, if I said it, it's true. And I know because I'm up the ladder and you're not. And you're lower than I am, so I have power over you. That's right. How people talk to people. Instead of having a flow and a harmony and a respect and grace.
Yes. And in the book, there's one of the letters in the book that's not out of the sequence of the story. There's a seer that's teaching the reader about soul diseases, and there's the pictures of the soul diseases. And what that character, John Alderson, Dr. John Alderson, who is a seer who travels to different dimensions, would say that judgment is there, is that that's intellectual vanity and arrogance. And
absolutely.
That's how he would define those things. And if you go in to read, it's the arrogance, pride. I could read a little brief thing here. Of all soul diseases are forms of pride. But strong arrogance is usually most closely associated with pride because of its clear outward display of superiority. Pride itself is the belief and practice of self-rule and self-glory seeking, thinking that the individual self is self-created, self-powerful, self-sustaining, and accountable to no one. Arrogance is the belief and practice that the value of oneself on the eternal plane is more deserving, superior, than other members of humanity. Arrogance diseases manifest itself as a hard, scale-like soul skin. The more acute the condition, the harder and more textured the soul appears. And then it goes on, and all of this...
Well, it's all ego. When you start to let in the light, and when you start to have something called compassion, and you start to see that the other person is coming from their fear and pain, and you're coming from your fear and pain, then you realize that everybody needs to heal, including you. And that's what the lifetime is about. The soul comes down to heal it, to try to bring it up to a higher vibrationary level. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't, because when you have the hardened criminal and the Uzis and the guns and the bombs, then you know that you're going lower and lower and lower. The more people I can hurt, the better I'm going to feel. Well, that's opposite to what truth is. Mm-hmm. Truth is the more that I can let go and honor you and include you in the scheme of things and understand that you feel your way and I feel my way and we're all okay, then the universe can lead you. Then the universe can bring you that which you desire. And when you can meditate and get into what Deepak Chopra calls the gap, and you can get into that place of almost non-existent, and it feels that way because you're not thinking and you're not creating and you're not manifesting or manipulating. You just are. And you just need 5 seconds of that, Michael, and your whole life can shift and change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is similar to like being in an unseen world. And I'd like you to talk more about where activities in these unseen worlds, what happens and how do they impact us?
Well, one thing I wanted to say on what you were just saying there, that was wonderfully put and agree. And one of the in the seers, I've included something called in the back of the book, something called Trioptis meditation. And that is – it's only just a page or two in the handbook because I didn't want to go into a whole deep aspect on meditation. But then there's also a chapter on prescription for soul healings, and it goes into what you were just saying there about focusing on these higher virtues of truth to overcome.
And I call them affirmations.
Absolutely. They're totally affirmations. And people don't even realize what the Lord's Prayer is, the first part of it. It's all affirmation.
Of course.
You know?
One of the best ones I've heard lately is, I will not be afraid to go where the universe leads me.
That's a good one.
That's an interesting one. And on that note, we are going to take a commercial break, and we will be back with our guest, Michael Karaszewski, right after these messages.
Wisdom Magazine is one of the East Coast's largest free publications, with more than 1,000 distributed bi-monthly in 3 regional areas, New England, New York City and New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Wisdom is dedicated to opening the people's hearts and minds to the philosophy, products, and services of the new millennium, bringing love, peace, and positive information into the community. Elizabeth writes the astrology column for Wisdom, as well as a weekly astrology update for the Wisdom Magazine website. Visit us at wisdom-magazine.com to view our web edition.
The X-Zone is a late-night internationally syndicated radio, television, satellite, and internet talk show, which deals with a variety of subjects, but usually ones that relate to the world of the paranormal, metaphysics, and the science of parapsychology. It was created by the Canadian broadcaster Rob McConnell and first aired in 1993. The X-Zone airs 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern Time, and is distributed internationally by the X-Zone Broadcast Network. It is hosted by the show's creator and executive producer, Rob McConnell. The X-Zone Radio Show is located in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. The X-Zone Radio and TV Show is the only Canadian radio show that is syndicated to a truly international listening and viewing audience via conventional professional broadcasting and satellite means, not only the Internet. The X-Zone is syndicated on an international basis outside of Canada and has more than 400,000 listeners as an international audience. Listen for Elizabeth Joyce and Rob McConnell on the X-Zone at www.xzoneradiotv.com. Is it a headache or someone wishing you ill? Is a sudden change in behavior due to drugs or the influence of evil? Do you find it hard to pray, to reach out to God? Psychic attack is more common than one might think and is a malady that can be overcome by specific metaphysical and spiritual treatment. Elizabeth Joyce clearly explains what the symptoms of psychic attack are, where it comes from, how you can overcome the attack, and what simple exercises and meditations you can do to protect yourself from future attacks. She compares psychic attacks from days gone by with their modern counterparts and illustrates with anecdotes and examples. Is there any such thing as a ghost, and can they harm you? Can other people's negative and destructive thoughts harm you? If so, you can take steps to protect yourself from these energies. Although you would seek and find help with any physical emergency, this book, Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce, can be helpful by your learning good spiritual practices for clearing away negative energies and keeping up with the housework of the soul. Then, if something overthrows you, there are some good strategies at hand so you can begin to remove them. Learn what to do as well as what not to do. Elizabeth Joyce is an expert on ghost busting, and she has been to court on many occasions helping people get their money back from the gypsies and so-called psychic stealers. This is a book that you'll want to pick up and keep in your library because it's a how-to book as well as an informative book. Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce is available at Amazon.com as well as the website www.new-visions.com. Be sure to pick up Psychic Attack. You will want to hear Elizabeth's personal story as well as get this great information that could be helpful to you and your family in the future. Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on BBSRadio.com, Station 1. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. Let's Find Out and our honored guests come to us every other Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you would like to call in and ask a question, please dial 888-627-6008 in the U.S. and Canada. Again, that's 888-627-6008. Now, if you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety, a podcast will be available tomorrow, and you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with our host, Elizabeth Joyce.
This is Elizabeth Joyce on Let's Find Out, and now it's time for the Metaphysical Book Corner.
Tonight, Let's Find Out presents a review of The Seers by Michael Kazowski. Unlike the dimensions of the physical world, the world of angels and entities do not exist within a closed system of energy in the astral plane. Thus, the laws of physics and thermodynamics as we know them don't apply. Energy is perpetual and unlimited. There is no gravity, inertia, or friction. The spiritual dimension is a reality beyond our ability to fully comprehend. Spiritual beings live within this dimension without the need for food, sleep, or protection from the environment.
They are completely self-sustaining, eternal, non-physical life forms, limited only by their design and the mysterious laws that govern their realm. They also are known to exist in several different dimensions. The immortal soul of the individual within the physical self. The human soul or spirit is healthier at birth, being completely pure from vices. It is innocent, pure, and glowing with a brilliant radiance equaled only by spiritual beings. As the abundant paths of the vice inevitably make their mark on the baby, as the child grows, the soul loses some of its original luster, and if the vices are pursued without conscience, the lower vibrational frequencies of these choices corrupt the soul, lowering the vibration of the body and therefore causing soul disease as well as physical disease. With the release of the first story of the Seers, the first ever cyberphysical novel experience, the Seers, the New World Order, creator Michael Kazakowski tears down the hidden barrier between the physical and spiritual dimensions, revealing the unseen laws of the universe within a fantastical page-turning thriller. The Seers is not just a single story, but an introduction to a new physical platform called Scylla Celestial, the combination of science and celestial. This book offers not only the proposition that science and spirituality coexist on opposite ends of the same spectrum, but also qualifies historical religious terminology into its scientific counterpart, which tears down dimensional law explanations. This fast-paced story blends genres, part ecliptical and part detective story, but it doesn't end there. Kazakowski has successfully combined his mystifying thriller with the Seer's Handbook, which is used to help others understand this new world. As the first ever cyber-physical novel, the Seers provide a unique multimedia experience. With original music, illustrations, and video links sprinkled throughout the book by way of QR codes, fans are carried into the cyber dimension, enabling them to interact with exciting and growing multimedia content. It introduces and submerges the reader into a whole new world, providing a boundless fictional platform that is ripe for full exploration. Story outline. The New York police detective John Scarfello is investigating the murder of dozens of homeless who are left for dead, with their eyes surgically removed. As he tracks down what he believes to be a crazed serial killer, he discovers that he has special powers that he has suppressed as a child. He is drafted into saving humanity by empowering his unrivaled abilities, but self-doubt, temptation, and anger challenge his ability to harness his gift for good. Through the characters' lives, readers are introduced to the prophets of humanity known as the Seers. Between chapters, Dr. John Alderson, a well-traveled seer physician, shares his inside knowledge and encourages readers to delve deeper by guiding them into sections in the Seer's Handbook, which makes up the final third of the book. The handbook contains an in-depth glossary of transdimensional laws and spiritual concepts, a chapter on angelology, a study of the human soul with spiritual world photographs, known as spiritography, soul disease diagnosis, prescriptions for soul healing, and the history of the entire world that, until now, was unseen and unknown. The Seers by Michael Kazakowski. Check out the internet to obtain this book. The website is theseers.com.
Between yesterday and tomorrow, there is more, than a day. Between day and night, between black and white, there is more, than gray. Between the question and the answer, there's the silence of the sea. Between the cradle and the grave, there is the someone that is me. Between yesterday and tomorrow, there is more, than a day. There's every dawn you've ever between day and night, between black and white, there is more, there is more than gray. Between the summer and the winter, there's a multitude of falls. Between the entry and the exit, there's a labyrinth.
Barbra Streisand, Between Yesterday and Tomorrow, and this is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out on BBSRadio.com. Tonight we are discovering all of the different energies and entities and the other side and the devil and the angels and God and energy with Michael Kazowski. And Michael, this has been wonderful. We've gotten a lot of information out for our people. I'd like to know, what would you do if you were pulled into two different worlds without knowledge or warning?
I mean, like the seers, what they're pulled into? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in the book, what I talk about is that it's a very tormented life because to deal with the unseen energies that one needs to really have a lot of training. And the seers, in order to keep themselves sane, since they're seeing all this, they have to really follow, meditate. What's in the book, I call it trioptis meditation. It's how they overcome much of the horrors that they see in the invisible realms.
Well, and I agree with that because I've been a seer since I was born.
Well, then that's exactly what I would do. Is I would be hoped that I would, if without having any past knowledge of what I have now, that I would hope that I would be directed towards the path that the seers in the book are supposed to take, which is that of a disciplined, focused lifestyle of meditation and submission to a higher power consciousness.
Well, the submission I have found is that you can't question really how it happens or why it happens, but it does happen, and that's your life experience. And, of course, if you've had it your whole life, you don't know any different. And grounding is important. And knowing that you're safe is important, and knowing that you're never ever pulled into something that you can't get out of, or are you pulled into something that is dangerous to you? You're pulled in to witness and to gain knowledge. If you can remember that, then that will help you. If you find that that's different, or you think there might be a hole in your aura, then you need to contact either me or Michael or somebody that knows how to help you along with that. I do think that a lot of mental illnesses has to do with going in and out of different frequencies and different energetic surroundings. Don't you agree, Michael?
Yeah, I do. In fact, I just recently was speaking to an energy healer about that, and they gave some first accounts of situations that were quite dramatic that they felt that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can happen. But if you keep your vibration up by the meditation, which is, of course, what you're recommending and I'm recommending, I think everybody needs to have a meditation practice these days, just like we need to have our 6-month medical exam or drive our car. It's that basic. So Do you have faith during your times of darkness and anger and frustration? What is it that you do, Michael?
Yeah, well, absolutely. And in the past, I've, like everybody, I've, you know, had a lot of losses and experienced a lot of traumas in my life. For example, you know, lost no need to go into the details, but mm-hmm. but I you know, had a lot of losses, and it was during those dark hours that really I was those were the seeds that I was really able to climb out of that valley, and that's where I learned the most was from being in those places of loss.
And did you feel that you had invisible help? Did you feel that you had angels or guides or very wise people helping you on the other side?
Absolutely. I would say that, you know, I'd have to go back and think about all the different details. I know that I felt prayers. I knew that God was always faithful. I think that, you know, there's that verse, if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. And, you know, there's so much grace out there. You know,
oh, absolutely.
And I think that's one of the things is that I look back and I will regularly in my thankfulness meditations go back and just meditate on just how much grace has been extended to me during those hours and to help me get out of those different pits. But
oh, that's gratitude. That's good because when you acknowledge that, then what you're doing is building up more grace.
Well,
always get a chance to help somebody else as well.
You know, I didn't think about that. That's very interesting. You're building up more grace. Mm-hmm. You know, in the little section on the chapter of in the Seer's Handbook section, I have a little part. It's called Meditation for or Prescriptions for Soul Healing, and the first part of the prescription is gratefulness. Is
gratitude.
Yeah, absolutely. It's stepping into that. That's essential.
It's so important.
Yeah.
I think it keeps our connection, and I also think that it helps us understand other people.
Mm-hmm.
So what is next for you, Michael, on this road that you're on? You wrote about the different energies, and now you're doing healing work. What do you think is your next step?
Well, I am continually writing on several different seer books. It's not a trilogy or anything like that. The main character of the, it's not actually the main character, but the guy that leads you throughout the series, his name is Dr. John Alderson. He writes these letters throughout the book, guiding the reader. And so the actual main narrative of the story is one story out of an infinite number of future stories that can be done. Because this guy, Dr. John Alderson, is transdimensional. He's pulled into different dimensions. And because of that, there's just so much material that can be written on the Seer's celestial platform.
And not only that, you have an opportunity to teach people how this works and that it does exist. That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's exactly right. A lot of these books that I've been working on, you know, again, I like to use a lot of metaphor, kind of like, you know, Christ did with the parables. Parables just extended metaphor. You know, so I have a lot of these books that are simply that. They're simply kind of like little. They're not you know, novels or anything. They're just reference books on teaching. And I try to use as much metaphor to making and stories as much as I can to make it memorable. You know, and
so let me ask you. I want to ask you about this secret. This is the secret, the real secret, not the one they wrote about. Is there really cosmic laws and energy that can be harnessed to serve one's desires?
Well, that's a deep question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I could say that, you know, going back to that good and evil thing, I think that just like you can use, you know, a gun, you know, or a weapon to protect someone from being harmed, you can also use it to create harm. And just as gravity is a force that can be used in many different ways, I think the many different unseen laws of the universe that exist can be used in many different ways as well. And, you know, just like you said, the secret, you know, law of attraction or whatever we want to call it, I think that is a concept that exists in the universe on many different planes that, you know, what you put into something, it will be drawn to, and, you know.
Not unless you have the divine included. I totally believe that. If you do something for manipulation and control, you're building bad karma. If you do something out of desire and your talents and wanting to share and expand that which is within your soul, then you are expanding. You're giving to the universe because you're adding to the expansion. And what you can create and know is unimaginable. That's what we call unlimited realities. But it has to be done with a certain intent.
Absolutely. Well, you know, in the book, I talk about intent programming. I have this whole thing in the Seers that's it's you know, it's called seer magic or enchantment. And, you know, and part of to be a good seer, it's like, you know, the good and bad. You know, it's like if you use your intent focus properly, then for good, then you can use these things for good. But, you know, I do believe that if somebody focuses on negative things, that you're going to draw negative energy to.
Absolutely. Yep.
You know, so that's
where you are what you think.
Yeah, so that's where, you know, and then also in the book I have something called thought energy beings. You know, they're different than demons, and they're, you know, they're these creatures that exist in the thought energy plane. You know, and there's a lot of stuff on that I allude to as well, that, you know, your thoughts can radiate, you know, other thoughts.
When you really learn, when you really get it, and you really learn to clear, like Paramahansa Yogananda teaches everybody, you clear before you go into the plane, and therefore those thought energies will not be present. You do that first. It's fascinating how to do that. Mm-hmm. And you can pray for 1,000 people at once by learning how to put their vibrations or photographs into the atmosphere and then praying on that mound of energy. It's fascinating stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're both growing, Michael, and we are at the end of the show. It's been wonderful having you, and I'm sure we'll have you again as you unfold more and bring more to us to see through the Seers.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been such a great pleasure.
And we'll get this to you, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you again, perhaps in the fall. Thank you for coming on Let's Find Out.
Thanks again.
This is Elizabeth Joyce, and next time, April 12th, we're going to be talking about the fascination of identical twins and their place in the universe and why you have to de-twin after you've become a twin. So tune in on August 12th. For that bit of information. Now we are getting ready for our nightly meditation. The meditation tonight is the Garden of Wisdom. All of our gardens are coming together, the flowers of summer and the wonderful summer tomatoes and the crops and the strawberries and the blueberries. It's a wonderful time of year. So let's get ready. Take a deep breath. Sit in a chair, both feet flat on the floor, and let's go to the Garden of Wisdom. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. It's a pleasure. Thank you for listening. Good night.
This is the Garden of Life meditation. The thoughts we think and the words we speak are constantly shaping our world and our experiences. Many of us are in the old habit of negative thinking, and we do not realize the damage that we have inflicted upon ourselves. However, we are never stuck because we can always change our thinking. As we learn to consistently choose positive thoughts, the old negative ones dissolve away. So sit with both feet flat on the floor and allow these messages and affirmations to penetrate within you. Your subconscious mind will pick up the ones that are important to you at the moment. These concepts are like fertilizing the soil of your mind. As you absorb them by repetition, you are slowly enriching the very basis of your garden of life. So as we go through these affirmations, as you allow them to come into your consciousness, know that you are planting seeds of positive thinking into your garden of life. I release the past with ease, and I trust the process of life. I close the door on old hurts, and I forgive everyone, myself included. I visualize a stream in front of me. I take all those old experiences, old hurts, and old pains, and I put them all on this stream and watch them begin to dissolve and drift downstream until they totally dissipate and disappear. I am free, and everyone in my past is free. I am ready to move forward and to new adventures that await me. Lifetimes come and go, but I am always eternal. I am alive and vital. No matter which plane of action I am existing on,
Love surrounds me. Love surrounds me now, and love surrounds me in the future. Love surrounds me forever. My willingness to forgive begins my healing process. I allow the love from my own heart to wash through me, cleansing and healing every part of my body. I know I am healing. Forgiveness of myself and others release me from the past. Forgiveness is the answer for almost every problem. Forgiveness is a gift to myself. I forgive, and in doing that, I set myself free. I free myself and everyone in my life from the old past hurts. They are free now, and I am free now to move forward into new, glorious, fabulous experiences. I cross the bridge with joy and ease. The old unfolds into wonderful new experiences. And you know, my life gets better and better all the time. I am willing to release old negative beliefs. They are only thoughts, and thoughts stand in my way. New thoughts are positive and fulfilling. I release all the things from my past that cloud my vision. I see the perfection in all of life. I willingly forgive. I breathe love into my vision. I see with compassion and understanding. My clear insight is reflected in my outer sight. I breathe in the fullness and richness of life. Take a deep breath and breathe in the fullness and richness of life. Take a deep breath and breathe in the aromatherapy of spring, all of the flowers blooming and the wonderful, glorious sights of the brilliant colors. Take a deep breath and observe your life with joy, abundantly supporting me. Life supports me with more good than I can imagine. I am guided throughout this day in making right choices. Divine intelligence and my blessed higher self continuously guide me in the realization of my goals, and I am safe. I am safe. It's only change. I break free and think wonderful thoughts. I move past my limitations into freedom. I now become all that I am created to be. I am that. I am love. I am growing in full bloom in my garden of wisdom. And so it is.
Thank you.